says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings. Aniva nijone go shabothya, nijone go shabothya. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kiddishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations. They come from a land called El Salvador, land of their birth, can't go home anymore. Warriors in exile that travel the land and sing songs of freedom wherever they can. Yola Kamaita wo, oh, Yola Kamaita wo, oh, Yola Kamaita wo, oh, Yola Kamaita wo. Oh,
Josefina, Manuel, and Miguel. The people know, but they're afraid to tell. The children are missing, the government lies. Soldiers are marching, and mothers, they cry. Yola Kamaita, whoa, Yola Kamaita, whoa. Yola Kamaita, whoa, whoa. Yola Kamaita, whoa. Yola Kamaita, whoa, whoa. Yola Kamaita, whoa. Yola Kamaita, whoa, whoa. Yola Kamaita, whoa.
Music from Native American singer-songwriter Mitch Walking Elk from his cassette, A Contribution to Peace. The song we played was entitled Yolo Kamaita, The Revolt of the Corn. To me, that song honors all of our sisters and brothers from Abiala, what's now called Central America, who've had to flee their homeland as a result of a long history of socio-political and economic situations threatening their well-being, much of which the U.S. government is responsible for. As many listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, 20 years ago I was a journalist covering the wars in Central America. I saw firsthand much suffering caused by military governments, often supported by the U.S. I also saw multinational companies forcing their business agenda in agriculture, energy, and natural resource development. The situation for the poor in Abiala, now with NAFTA, CAFTA, FTAA, and World Trade Organization policy, can only be worse. Many of our brothers and sisters who are the working poor in America, such as farm workers, are immigrants from Central America and the Caribbean. They are some of the victims of the socio-political history of economic globalization. I feature that song in honor of today's program guest, Melody Gonzalez, who shares my concern for global justice. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Our guest today is a very fine compañera, Ms. Melody Gonzalez. I spoke with Melody at the 2005 Immokalee in Centro. Yad Kiddushin Native Center had the honor to participate in a very special gathering of youth activists from across the country who came together to share ideas and experiences in the pursuit of what I term Earth Justice. Earth Justice incorporates social, economic, cultural, and environmental concerns dealing with the growing threat of globalization. Globalization is the 21st century's form of colonialism. The gathering, which was held August 1st through the 7th, 2005, was entitled Encuentro, from the Spanish term for meeting, gathering, or encounter. Hosted by the National Student Farmworker Alliance, SFA, in support of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, CIW, young activists met in an atmosphere of trust, equality, and solidarity in order to continue to build this youth movement for global justice. The Encuentro took place in one of the poorest communities in America, the town of Immokalee, Florida, located just 15 minutes from us here at Yad Kiddushin Native Center. Immokalee is one of the battlegrounds for poor people's social and economic justice. The oppression and exploitation faced by Immokalee farm workers over the years in the agricultural industry has been nothing less than modern-day slavery. The organizing and resistance work of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, such as the recent precedent-setting victory in the Yum Brands Taco Bell boycott, is a significant achievement in the struggle for worker rights to fair wages and decent working conditions. Listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know that Yad Kiddushin Native Center has been and continues to be an ally to the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, our neighbors, since CIW's founding. Wolf Mountain Radio is proud to have provided continual coverage of CIW's struggles over the years to our worldwide listeners. Those of us who have participated in coalition campaigns and marches know that the fight for justice is far from over. This is why the Incentro was so important. The Incentro brought focus for strategies in the next phases of building alliances and movement networks for global justice and for continuing to support the coalition of Immokalee workers. The Immokalee Incentro of student and youth activists and organizers who came together to share skills, knowledge, and experience was truly a committed, diverse, and talented group. I was honored to attend. The way in which the dialogue took place was very special. Event organizers, trainers, and participants were careful to ensure equality and respect for all, being very open to issues of power dynamics, such as racism, gender, sexism, economic status, class privilege, and white supremacy. It takes great effort to listen and make agreements based on inclusion, consent, and consensus. In indigenous peoples' cultures, we follow a traditional council circle way of gathering, using the Gluskowach and Abi talking stick or talking feather. In this way, all have respect for each other and listen carefully to each other without bias or judgment. This ethic encourages everyone to consider how one's words and actions will impact the well-being of all life for seven future generations. The Student Farm Worker Alliance Youth Conference should be proud of how everyone worked together. It is a lesson many so-called adults should emulate. I want to share a paragraph from the Incentro booklet entitled Listen and Build. Quote, "We envision a space in which all voices are heard, seeing, and hearing one another in our full humanity, where everyone feels comfortable to contribute and barriers between experts and audience are broken down. It's also extremely important that we confront the power hierarchies that we observe amongst and within ourselves and oppressive attitudes and behaviors we have internalized and continue to perpetuate even as activists," unquote. The week-long Immokalee Incentro operated on a consensus-based model, trying to be non-hierarchical, making sure everyone's voice and concerns were heard, while also promoting group cohesion and participation. In the spirit of the indigenous Zapatista movement in Chiapas, the Student Farm Worker Alliance Incentro participants believe in direct action and direct democracy, where people and communities act through their own power to control and change their own lives without representatives, that oppressions must be confronted both within and outside of our movements, and that only fundamental systemic changes will lead to real justice, liberation, and peace. The range of workshops and trainings, seriousness of the dialogue strategy sessions, and the cultural music presentations made this gathering both very special and very empowering. I want to thank everyone who participated in the Immokalee Incentro and truly hope that our grassroots gathering helped to contribute to create a new and better world for all life, for all of our relations. Kenan Wantakwasin. I hope the voices you hear from my interviews at the Incentro exemplify this introductory commentary. Melody is a Chicana whose family is from the indigenous Tarasco Mexican Indian people. She recently graduated from Notre Dame University, where she was active in the student boycott against Taco Bell. Melody Gonzalez is a staff person for the National Student Farm Worker Alliance and Interfaith Action. Both organizations work in solidarity with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. The work of SFA exemplifies how young people and students can help give a voice to workers and poor people in the struggle for social and economic justice. The SFA is also an example of the power of how individuals working together with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers can take on one of the largest multinational food companies, which has great influence in the tomato farming sector and thereby impacts both wages and working conditions for farm workers. The CIW struggle is a story of grassroots organizing, coalition building, and people empowerment for global justice. I now welcome Melody Gonzalez to Wolf Mountain Native Radio.
Okay, well, my name is Melody Gonzalez, and I'm originally from what is now known as Santa Ana, California. I believe that the people whose land that belonged to was the Gabrielino. parents are both from what is now Mexico, from the area that belongs to the Tarasco Indians. And I just graduated recently from the University of Notre Dame, and that's where I became involved with SFA. Well, first of all, I guess what drew me to learning about the situation in Immokalee was my own family's experience. My father was a farm worker, and both of my parents came into this country, as they say, undocumented, illegally. And so that sort of experience has been what's motivated me to get involved with campaigns that are around immigrant rights and farm worker rights. And so I came to Immokalee for the first time in the spring of 2003, and really was impacted by this community, seeing the faces of my family members and the people out there when I had the opportunity to go and pick tomatoes, and really just feeling personally connected to the struggle here, and got involved when I went back to my campus and have been involved ever since. I just graduated and now I'm here in Immokalee to stay for some time, and just really looking forward to this experience to grow and to learn from the people here and how we can continue to build a movement that's for justice and dignity, not just for farm workers, but for everybody, for all oppressed groups in our society, because I think history has taught us so many lessons of how oppression affects different people. And once you're aware of those sorts of things, to ignore them, to deny that they're there, I just don't see how people can do that, and I don't see how people can't be moved to want to take action and really feel something deep inside your heart, the responsibility to take care of one another more than anything, because there are common things that unite us as human beings. Yes. And as people of this earth, as spiritual beings, and I think we need to be able to embrace that and work together to create a world that is more just, where everybody's dignity is respected, and where we put value more on things like our personal connections with people, or
caring for Mother Earth,
exactly, rather than material
profit
and materialism, things that really are just empty and don't have a spirit in them. And so I think there's a lot of work to be done. It's challenging work.
Yes.
But we have a responsibility to do it.
January 2005, I had the honor to participate in the Coalition of Immokalee Workers Symposium entitled Human Rights and the Struggle for Fair Food, which also honored the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, who was a strong supporter of farm worker rights. This two-day event in Immokalee also included a number of religious leaders who support social justice through the Interfaith Action Network you also work with, which supported CIW's Taco Bell boycott and anti-slavery campaign. That Saturday evening interdenominational prayer vigil was very, very special. And I remember talking to you, Melanie, then about social justice work for me is part of my spiritual life as a Native American global justice warrior. And I think you also feel that your activism has a spirit connection. Melanie, my next question, as we speak here at the Incentro, celebrating the important CIW Taco Bell victory, is what is the future direction and focus for Coalition of Immokalee Worker and its supporters? Well, I'm glad Hume Brands has, after 4 years, agreed to CIW demands. You and I know that the struggle for farm worker rights is far from over. There are many examples in labor history where corporations have not fulfilled their agreements. And Hume Brands, being a multinational corporation, must certainly be made to deliver on its promises as stated in a written settlement agreement. I certainly hope the public does not think that all is now okay for farm workers both here in Southwest Florida and throughout the fast food restaurant industry. Part of this encounter's Incentro focus is on strategies for future action for worker justice. Would you please share your views on this topic?
I think it was a tremendous victory, but it's only a step. There's a lot more work to be done. It's sort of twofold in the sense that we still have to continue to make Taco Bell Yum Brands accountable for what they agreed to. And so that work needs to continue. We can't just pretend that they're doing the right thing because, you know, corporations get away with a lot of things. They do a lot of illegal things, and so we need to make sure that we don't let that happen and that the one more penny per pound doesn't end there, because people were receiving the same wages since 1978. Now they received a raise. Who knows when the next raise is going to be, and hopefully we don't have to wait another 20, 25 years for that, that there's a continuous dialogue between the coalition of mafia workers and these corporations so that it doesn't end, and there's we continue to look at ways that we can improve the lives of the workers. And then also looking at the other corporations, you know, that benefit from the exploitation of these workers. So one of the things that the CIW is doing now is sort of beginning to put light pressure on other corporations by beginning the process of dialogue, sending letters. These corporations include McDonald's, Burger King, and Subway at this point. And so people can go to the Coalition of Mockley Workers website and download these letters that they can begin to send. And as soon as we're ready to take action, we want people to help us take out the message so that people begin planning their actions and so forth. So should I give the website?
Yes, please.
The website is www.ciw-online.org.
Something that is very important to me is that this is trying to be a multicultural, multiracial movement under the guidance and authority of the Coalition of Mockley Workers, but still much of the organizing is, from my perspective, is largely, to be very blunt, still very Anglo, and a lot of white people are very much involved in the leadership. And even another step further, I see it still is very much male-orientated, very much, you know, male-dominated. What is your thoughts as a woman of color, as a person of color, someone who is concerned in justice? How do we move beyond these issues of racism and sexism?
Yeah, I agree. It's something that we definitely need to work on. And I think one of the positive things, at least in this group that we're here, is that a lot of people are aware of this, that we're conscious about this. Now it's just really a matter of taking a more proactive, more proactive steps towards making sure that other people who are not represented. I feel that a lot of high school students, for example, are not represented. People from lower incomes are not represented. Other people of different cultures are not represented. And so I also feel that as a woman of color that I have a responsibility to make sure that those people are represented. And I'm really excited that I'm here now. And I just arrived in Milwaukee last week. And I feel that's going to be one of my responsibilities, to take an active role in finding ways to get more people involved that represent other groups that are not currently being represented.
She was a warrior woman. Her story got lost in the shuffle of time. Her fighting for her people is an inspiration to you and me and all womankind. To you and me and all womankind. She was a pious princess, and he was her brother Natchez. In the great basin of Nevada, on nomad tribe they led. With the bull rush of 49, the white eyes came pushing through. And with them came the army, the Paiute welcomed them too. Chief Sarah, she was a warrior woman. Her story got lost in the shuffle of time. Her fighting for her people is an inspiration to you and me and all womankind. To you and me and all womankind. Before long the government agents came to administer them. White men stole the food that was meant for the Indian. You know, Sarah saw the indignity and suffered the starvation. So she and Natchez went to Washington to fight for the Paiute Nation.
Chief Seven, she was a warrior woman. Her story got lost in the shuffle of time. Her fighting for her people is an inspiration to you and me and all womankind. To you and me and all womankind.
Food, tents, and blankets were promised but never arrived. President Hayes was petitioned, but Paiutes froze and died. A grieving Sarah wrote a book, the first by an Indian, and the newspapers ran her story when her lectures outraged them.
Chief Sarah, she was a warrior woman. Story got lost in the shuffle of time. Her fighting for her people is an inspiration to you and me and all womankind. To you and me and all womankind.
Chief Sarah learned to fight off the attack on her good name. She died at the age of 48, but her message is still the same. As the first woman Indian activist, the price she paid was dear. If she wasn't in your history book, well, now you've read it here.
Chief Sarah, she was a warrior woman. Got lost in the shuffle of time. Her fighting for her people is an inspiration to you and me and all womankind. To you and me and all womankind. Chief Sarah, she was a warrior woman. Her story got lost in the shuffle of time.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Yeah.
It's easy if you try. Sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Imagine there is a radio station working for a better world, social justice and human rights, independent broadcasting 24 hours a day. Radio for Peace International, Costa Rica. We are giving voice to the voiceless.
Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only.
Your thoughts about the United Farm Workers, and does CIW have a connection with the larger movement across what's now called North America? And before you answer that, Melody, I wanted you to know, if you don't know, that contrary to the misunderstanding of a lot of white Americans, is that farm workers is not just, quote, Hispanic or Caribbean, Haitian people, but especially years ago, up in the northeastern part of what's now called the United States, northwestern part of what's now called the United States, a lot of the farm work was done by my people, quote, American Indians, Native American people. My moccasins that I'm wearing here, I wear them proudly because they happen to have the beadwork of the very beautiful plant called the cranberry. And I grew up as a farm worker in the cranberry bogs and in the blueberry fields of what's now called the Northeast as a farm worker. We weren't migrants. We lived within our homeland, but as a young person in my teenage years, I worked many hours in the hot sun, what they call raking blueberries and working cranberry bogs. And in fact, I'm in a wheelchair because as a young person, I was contaminated from pesticides and herbicide fertilizer sprays back then, and we didn't have any worker rights as well. I remember even if we wanted a drink of water, sometimes people were fired and were not allowed to work. This struggle over the Markley and Coalition of Markley Workers and the United Farm Workers across the U.S. is not just academic to me. It's part of my own history and legacy of people, and I consider you my sister in that way as well. As a young person, I remember listening to some of the people who had a chance to know Cesar Chavez, and I'm going to mispronounce her name, but Dolores. Yeah, Huerta. And to me, they're my heroes as well as people like, you know, Lennon Pelletier and Geronimo. But would you share with our worldwide audience your thoughts about, you know, the larger farm worker movement and struggle and the history?
Oh, definitely. So much of my inspiration has come from that movement, from being from California, growing up, hearing about Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta. I mean, I grew up knowing that they were, besides my parents, were among my people I saw as my heroes, people that I really did respected. About two summers ago, I had the opportunity to intern at one of the UFW offices in Los Angeles, and I was very honored to have that opportunity. I've met Dolores Huerta, and so I've definitely been very much inspired by that movement. I know that there is a relationship between CIWO and the UFW. I remember one of the tours I participated in what's now called the Northwest of the United States. We participated in action together with UFW workers to support their struggle against, I believe it was the dairy industry in that area. And so, and they've come out to support, you know, the Taco Bell boycott as well. But I think that there's more work to be done. I think that if we really want to reform the agriculture industry so that it is a just industry, we're going to have to make those bridges a lot stronger and build a stronger movement together, because although we each, every region of the country may be slightly different and there's slightly different struggles, I think there's a lot of similarities that bring us together, and that the only way that we're going to stand up to these corporations is really coming together. And so I'm really excited of being here and having had an experience with the UFW to be able to serve as someone that can strengthen that relationship with the UFW and also other farm worker organizations throughout the nation.
My friend, another important question that's always on my mind, because A, as a native person, this is part of my cultura, that is honoring Mother Earth, protection of what in English is called the environment. And B, because we're earth-based people, we know that we cannot live without fresh air, fresh water, fertile soil. And of course, my brothers and sisters who are called, you know, people south of the Rio Grande are like us and understand that. It seems that a lot of white America, so-called environmentalists, conservationists, don't seem to yet make the connection between social justice, human rights, worker rights, fair labor, fair income, whatever the English word is, and environmental issues. And yet, as I mentioned a few moments ago, I was contaminated, like many other farm workers of many cultures, from pesticides and fertilizers and herbicides. And agribusiness, especially modern so-called agribusiness, is heavily chemical dependent. And even my friends here in the coalition that I've known for many years, because I live near the Immokalee community. This is my community. This is where I shop, although I work more with indigenous peoples. I consider the coalition as my neighbors. I know a lot of the Guatemalan and Mexican and Caribbean, Haitian people who work in the fields here get very sick from the pesticides and fertilizers. All you have to do is look at a person's sneakers or shoes and you'll see the yellow film on the bottom of the feet and how soaked their clothes are. And of course, that's, you know, all chemical poisoning, and yet I don't hear much cry or concern by people who concern themselves with, quote, the environment. With the pollution and contamination of Immokalee and the Immokalee workers and generally speaking, farm workers in general, would you talk a little bit about the biological human health impacts that farm workers suffer from as a direct result from, say, agribusiness?
It's something that really just breaks my heart to hear. I've heard so many stories of just people who have been affected by things like that, people who have been affected by things like cancer because of pesticides and things like that. And see, I think we can bridge the movements, understanding that we have common enemies. I would say that these corporations that, in search of their profits, will pay the lowest wages, exploit the workers, and then also exploit the environment, because they've, instead of having, you know, smaller farms, for example, family-owned farms where the people can take care of the environment, not have to use pesticides, we've created these huge agribusinesses that depend on things like pesticides that ultimately end up destroying the environment. And it's really scary to think about the future and what if we don't take care of our land, of our Mother Earth, then, you know, what are we going to have to give to our children, to the future generations?
Thank you.
la tierra del cóndor viene, con el espíritu del águila joven, a la ciudad antigua de Teotihuacán. Offering to the spirits from the heart, to sacrifice each day on through the dark, to pray for all creation that dwells upon the earth. They run to honor the old ones who keep the traditions alive, and they run for the children, and so the people can hold their heads high.
are listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal, culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kitichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kitichi's Kinonwatakusin Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat Kitichi Native Center, write to Yat Kitichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat Kitichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
Information about Yat Kitichi Native Center is available on our website, www.yatkitichi.org. Our website, www.yatkitichie.org. Listeners can also email us at yatkitichi@earthlink.net. That's KITISCHEE at earthlink.net. Prior to our program identification, you heard the song Red Nation Unity from Full Circle Drum Society. We also featured a song from Mitch Walking Elk and Wade Fernandez entitled Peace and Dignity from Mitch's cassette, A Contribution to Peace. Across the Americas, indigenous peoples are reclaiming their cultures, honoring our ancestors, and teaching the young traditional ways. Ceremonial runs are one of the ways that are unifying our tribal nations. They are expressions of native sovereignty and self-determination, statements of peace, dignity, and global justice. Early in the program, we also played a song by Carolyn Hester, honoring a woman warrior known as Chief Sarah. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. I again want to thank today's program guest, my sister Melody Gonzalez, a staff member of the National Student Farm Worker Alliance and Interfaith Action. In a future Wolf Mountain Radio program, we will share another conversation I had with Melody about her September 2005 trip to Chiapas, Mexico. Melody was invited to participate in a Zapatista Encuentro, representing the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. We conclude today's program with a song from Costa Rican singer-songwriter Johnny Schroeder from his CD, Soy Un Rayo de Luz, which he gifted me when I met him at a UN University for Peace event with Kitterasi tribal youth at UPAS. The song speaks about a wish for a better world for all. It is entitled Un Mundo Diferente. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker, thanking you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Aho, kino and watakwasin to all of our relations.
No hay tragedias, ahí nunca se puede tener. Hay un mundo diferente, más allá del que solemos ver. Es el mundo verdadero, es el mundo de tu único ser. Ese mundo está en tu mente. Es el sitio al que perteneces, ese mundo es la conciencia de nuestra felicidad en el ser. Hay un puente al infinito, hay un puente al verdadero ser, donde el mundo es diferente.